right, our next speaker is Carolyn Marshall to talk about soil health under no-till termination of green manure and an organic grain rotation.
Hey, hi everyone, I'm Carolyn Marshall. So I go to Dalhousie University. I'm a grad student there with Derek Lynch, and that's in Nova Scotia, and I don't expect there to be everyone to have their Canadian geography down pat, so that's on the east coast of Canada, and it's a relatively small province. Which means our farms are relatively small. Our average farm size is probably about 70 acres, and the average organic farm size would be even smaller than that. So quite a bit of difference compared to some things in the Midwest. So I'm going to start with this soon-to-be classic definition of soil health. the ability of soil to function, maintain that function well into the future, and retain or recover function after small disturbances. So I wrote this because some of the people on my committee are not soil scientists, and they had a really hard time with the concept of soil health, and I couldn't really find someone else's definition that I liked that was succinct enough. So I like this one, obviously, because the ability of the soil to function, but that function is still open because it's going to change depending on where your soil is, what it's doing, and what we want it to do. Maintain that function well into the future. And I kind of see this as what differentiates soil health from the term soil quality. And we can debate this if you like. I have debated it with my committee. I see soil quality as being more of a short time frame, almost like a snapshot of what's happening in the soil, whereas soil health sort of extends over time and into the future. So a soil may be functioning right now, but it could be unhealthy and about to collapse and stop performing that function in the future, and we need to know that. And the ability to retain or recover function after small disturbances, because soil health is very dynamic and it changes a lot, and we need to know how the soil reacts to small changes. So I work in a... We use a full-season green manure crop, hairy veg oats, here. So the rotation is a full year of hairy veg oats, 30 to 70 ratio of hairy veg to oats. And then we plant wheat into that. And then, so the third year after the wheat, we've left the wheat stubble throughout the season as kind of like a fallow, and then planted fall rye, which I know is a little bit strange, but that was for some other person's objectives. They wanted that there to look at some of the nitrogen dynamics. And then we're trying no-till fall rye into soybean, so that's not going so well yet. That's not part of my project. So I'm going to be looking at mostly what happens after we terminate our green manure at the beginning of the wheat year, and then I went back again and measured it at the beginning of the fall rye season, where it's just wheat stubble, so the soil hasn't experienced any more disturbance since the green manure termination. So our three levels of termination are fall incorporation, and this is pretty standard in our region, where the green manures are plowed into the soil in the fall, the soil is left bare over the winter, and then it's disked and planted in the spring. We did a spring incorporation where the green manure was left on the soil over the winter, and then it was tilled in and planted, and then our third one was no-till, where the green manure was just left as a mulch on the surface, and we no-tilled our wheat into that. So there's our crop roller rolling over our green manure, and then we get this really great mulch you can see on your right. Winter kills, our green manure winter kills and leaves this beautiful mulch, and then just to compare, there's our bare soil over the winter. We don't have a lot of farmers doing no-till in our region, inorganic or conventional. There's not a lot of pressure because we're very wet, so they just don't feel the need to, although I think in the coming years it's going to become more important because nitrate leaching into water is becoming a really hot topic in our area. So to measure our soil health, I looked at yield. One of my committee members once told me, why would you need soil to function in any other way except to grow a crop? I think he was being a devil's advocate. But so we measure yield because that is the function, the main function we need agricultural soils to do, I looked at weed biomass, and then a bunch of different soil organism measures. We looked at earthworms, where we just dug up. You can see they're digging up our earthworms and sieving them by hand. We collected some ground beetles with pitfall traps, where we put a cup in the soil. The beetles crawl on the surface and fall into their death. And we took some microbial biomass measurements. We took a bunch of different soil measurements as well. So I originally was hoping to present on all three of these to give a nice picture of what the soil organisms are doing, because they provide some really great functions in terms of soil health. A series of unfortunate events has led to the ground beetles and the microbial biomass not being done in time, broken machines, and the great summer student mislabeling fiasco of 2015. So I just have earthworms today, but that's okay because earthworms are very important in terms of soil health anyway. They mix organic matter, which can be really important when you're in this no-till green manure system, where as opposed to mixing your organic matter in through tillage, it's all on the soil surface. So they can help mix that in. They create great pores, which help with water infiltration. They help soil air exchange. They're releasing nutrients. So even though they're all I have today, they are very important. So our weed biomass was significantly impacted by our treatments. When the green manure was plowed in the fall, it had significantly less weeds than the other treatments, but this didn't seem to impact yield. Our yield was pretty flat across the board, so that's good. So these are the earthworm numbers for the spring following termination. So the treatments had all been implemented, our wheat's been planted, and we sampled the earthworms. So you can see we have really small earthworm numbers in the fall and spring tilled plots compared to the no-till, which is the nice big yellow bar. And then that third bar there, reference, is we also sampled from sort of the edge of our field along a fence line, sort of between our field and a pasture, to see what's happening when the soil is not disturbed. It's not a natural setting. If it was natural in this area, it would be a forest. So it is just like a grassy, undisturbed edge of a pasture. So that's what happened in 2014. And then when I went back again the following year in the wheat stubble, so no other soil disturbance has happened, our fall and spring tilled plots, the earthworm numbers went up, but they're not anywhere near still our no-till plots. And you'll notice also the reference plot went way up, even though we did nothing to that. So in 2014 was a dry spring for us, which is very rare. We usually have really wet springs. So it was very dry, and when we sampled and we measured the soil conditions, the fall and spring plots, which had been bare soil, were about a degree hotter than the soil in the no-till and the reference plots. And because it was so dry, the no-till plots had about twice as much soil moisture as the other treatments. It was very small, still like 4% in the fall, spring, and reference plots, and 8 in the no-till. So still pretty low, but more moisture, because the plants in the reference are transpiring still. They're alive, but they're dead in the no-till plots. So they're not taking moisture out. So they've created, underneath our great mulch layer, we've created this kind of cool, moist place that we think the earthworms really like. So in 2015, it was much wetter, so they seem to rebound back in the reference. So what we're really noticing here, the important parts, is that even 1 year after tillage, there was no more soil disturbance, the earthworms aren't recovering. So if as a farmer you're looking at incorporating no-till and you were looking for benefit to your soil organisms, 1 year in your rotation might not be enough. You might need to look at multiple years with no soil disturbance. And when we're experiencing dry conditions, these green manure mulches might be creating kind of a refuge for earthworms with these favorable sort of wet and cool conditions. And will that be the same for our ground beetles? Possibly. They like those conditions as well, so hopefully. We've done this experiment again, so we staggered them. So this spring, in 2014, we grew our green manures. This spring, they were all terminated, and we sampled again, and we saw the exact same pattern. So really low numbers in the plots that had been tilled compared to the no-till plots. And this experiment's also being replicated in Manitoba, where we saw a similar pattern as well. So asking the really big questions, is this going to be reflected in my ground beetles and microbial biomass? Hopefully. That would make a pretty good story to see if they too really like the conditions under the green manure mulch. And is that because we're not physically tilling? Because, it's going to slice your organisms in half if they catch the plow. It's pulling off to the surface where they might get eaten. Or is it because of this cool, moist environment we're creating this thick mulch layer? And so we have an experiment running right now to test that, to try and tease apart if one of those is more important than the other. So we have plots that are tilled that have mulch added on top, and we have plots that are not tilled, where we take the mulch away, and so we're hoping to be able to determine if one of those is more important than the other and what's really going on. So, thank you.
So we do have about 5 minutes for questions or debate about the soil health definition, so feel free to
use that as you like. So they've been organic green manure systems. Typically in our region is a 2-year clover green manure. And so before this, it was 2 years of clover, which was tilled in wheat and soybeans. So this is the first year we've grown vetch and done any no-till. So they've only been no-till basically for one swipe. No, it's been organic for quite some time, and it's a certified site, yeah. We went to about 15 centimeters. She asked how deep I went when I sampled the earthworm, so we're going to about 15 centimeters. So that's why I think when it was very dry, we just weren't getting the numbers. They've gone down. Yes, yeah, and when we're doing something like vetch, especially where it's pretty unwieldy and viney, it's really the only way we can get a good incorporation to get, if you're looking for a clean soil surface to plant in. Yeah, in the fall, yeah, with the clover as well. Yeah, we don't have a really big animal livestock industry, and the farms are pretty scattered around and small. And most people seem to want, even though they have to take 2 years to get enough nitrogen with the clover, and you can get, vetch is amazing for nitrogen and biomass, but the seed is just so expensive that farmers they're not interested yet. We haven't proven the benefits enough, so we're trying. Thank you very much.